Yes, Heather, his name is Bubich.
I mean, I had to ask. I've never heard that last name before. I've never heard the name.
Chris Bubich.
In my defense, and what Bubich had a terrific performance.
He was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good Bubich. In my defense, I didn't even think of the double entendre. It came from one Heather Park.
Corrupted you.
I don't know. I think I would make the case that she has corrupted me.
Right. Sure. Okay.
Sneakily, she has corrupted me. When I started 5 years ago, I was
all serious,
very innocent,
all work,
yes, 44-year-old.
No fun.
Clean
yes.
cut.
Yeah, clean cut. And then it was the combination of her and Stoney.
Yeah, that's bad.
And so, and now you have, you know, what you have today is a very immature 49-year-old. Yeah. I'm going backwards. But yes, that's a great way to start our Monday.
You were just so caught off guard by it.
Well, I think it might be how he pronounced it. He really separated the
words. Oh, now you're
going to
blame someone. It's
Otto's
victim
fault.
Blaming.
But if you just say it fast, maybe I wouldn't have really noticed. But he was like, boo bitch, which made me think of...
Oh, now I think something else. Okay. Boo!
He really separated the words, so it I heard it.
It stuck out.
Yeah.
Anyway, good morning on a Monday.
Good morning.
Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and it's Jeremy Otto on the updates today.
How was your guys' weekend?
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend. It was, especially yesterday, it just felt like it was a day to get a whole bunch of stuff done outside, and we had pizza day. Oh. And it was not order your favorite pizza, it was make your favorite pizza. Got a couple of pizza stones for the grill.
I like that.
And everyone was making their own pizza. We put some Italian music on in the kitchen. Lisa and I were dancing around. And she actually made the comment, because it was so nice outside and we were having such a good time, that it kind of felt like we were on vacation.
Aww.
So, yeah. Great day yesterday.
When the moon
hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's amore.
Come on, Heather. You don't sing.
Don't.
You don't break into song spontaneously.
I do not.
Okay.
No.
Yes,
that's
and it's
fine.
Always
There's
it's
good
always
reason for that.
Very cringeworthy when the kids see the adults dancing around. So
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yes.
Glad everybody's back and ready to go today. We have a couple unhappy Lions. We'll get to it at 6:35. A couple vets who are unhappy with their contracts is a classic. This used to be a Wojo, Jamie and Wojo bit, something or nothing. We'll get into that bottom of the hour. We got a lot of Tiger baseball to talk. John, they won another series.
They did. And it was beautiful. Not exciting unless you're into great pitching or great pitching that gets abbreviated.
Oh, the Scooble 90 pitches. He's already on it.
Uh-huh. But we'll get to there a little bit later in the show. But yes, it's just an opportunity for the Detroit Tigers to continue climbing the standings, creating a little bit of distance. Now, the Guardians, two-game win streak. So they went into the weekend with the six-game lead over the Guardians. They came out with the six-game lead over the Guardians. But obviously put a little bit of distance between them and the Royals, as well as the Twins. So any distance we'll take. And the Guardians have, they've got a 12 or 13 game stretch here where it is completely opposite of what the Tigers have.
The Tigers get four with the White Sox starting later tonight, 7:40, Flaherty on the mound. John, the Royals force you to play playoff-esque games because they're so good with their pitching.
Mm-hmm.
One run games, nail biter games. You got to find a way to manufacture a run. Like yesterday's only run came on a wild pitch.
Yes,
McKinstry hits a triple,
which almost didn't happen.
Well, exactly.
What are you doing? Perez even thought, he's like, I'm not even going to go after this ball. There's no chance. I get it before McKinstry. And then all of a sudden he turns around and goes, McKinstry didn't go. I guess I'll try and give a little effort.
That's the only run. And then they lose the Scooble start by one run. And like, these are playoff kind of games. But if I told you you played three playoff games and you took two with three, like, that's just another feather in your cap.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, we talk about how aggressive this team is on the base path. They don't get that pass the ball run unless McKinstry turns that double into a triple. Yep. When he came around second base, I thought, oh no. Oh no. And then just slides in just under the tag.
I think it was Sunday. It all blurs together. the TV broadcast highlighted the Tiger base running aggressiveness. I think it was their first to third. How often mm-hmm. they do it, or the percentage at which they do it.
Yep.
And I believe they said it was the best, highest since like the 75 Athletics.
Yeah.
Like what this team is doing on the base paths isn't just, oh, they're aggressive. They're like 50 years aggressive. Like nobody has done it this aggressively in 50 years.
Yeah.
And you need to if you're going to play these tight games.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to lose 1-0, you better be able to win them 1-0. And these are... It's an opportunity to gain that little bit of callus of how do you win these tight games. And you're going to need to, at times, against a team that pitches really well, be aggressive on the base pass.
Do we expect Parker Meadows with the team any day now?
Yeah, I think it's any moment. I don't know if it's today, tomorrow, but it's an opportunity. And maybe it's, let's ease him into the series against the Sox. You don't want to take anything for granted, but Sox aren't a great team. Let's just face the facts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And so maybe it's an opportunity for them to ease him into action against the Chicago White Sox.
Who's the odd man out?
Well, I think we've come down to two names, and my initial reaction was different than yours, but I think we hit both names. It's either Justin Harry Molloy, that was my pick, or you had
Andy Ibañez.
And I'm not sure it really matters.
I think it will be Jehan. I would make the case it should be Andy Ibañez. And look, I know he had the moment last year off Hader in the postseason. AJ Hinch loves him. He's not even hitting lefties right now. Like yesterday was a lefty on the mound. He's hitting cleanup, 0-for-3, grounds into a double play. Like, John, he's hitting against left-handed pitching this season 237 with very little power. That's not a guy I'm keeping on the roster if that's the selling point. That's what he does well.
So I initially said Justin Henry Molloy. Numbers would tell you Andy Ibañez. Now it depends on what, and this may be one of those, this series it's Jehan's down, Ibañez is up. Next series it's Ibañez is down, Jehan's up. Justin Henry Molloy, while he's not ripping the cover off the ball, has had a couple of big moments in the last 30 days. I think there's two key singles that he's had. Again, not ripping the cover off the ball, but he's been more opportunistic than Andy Ibañez has been.
It's got to be one of the two. And I'm not going to... I'd understand if it's Jehan. He's the younger player, has the options. You can send him down. Doesn't have the infield flexibility that Andy does. Although I think that's going to matter less if Parker's in center and Javi's playing more infield.
Right. So that's the case that you bump Andy Ibañez down. So you have more flexibility in the outfield. You could still play... Javier in the outfield and
McKinstry at third
from time to time. But it's, if I was the manager, if I was AJ Hinch, first of all, I wouldn't have pulled Skubal. But again, that's for further down the road in the show here. I would send Ibañez. And I really think it's going to be a matter of matchups. And there's... As much as I want to nitpick some moves, but that's what they are, nitpicking moves by AJ Hinch, this is one that's, I don't know that there's a wrong answer, but he's been very good at creating matchups, so I'll trust him.
My gut is Jehan. They've got four with the Sox. In terms of pitching matchups, looks like they're pushing Skubal to the Cubs series, which sets up a fun Friday night.
Yes.
I know you're itching to have this Skubal conversation.
We'll
650.
Get there.
650.
I know.
He's already referenced it 2-3 times. Now I'm baiting him with Skubal talk.
I'm annoyed.
Talk. It's okay. And by the way, that Friday game, another Skubal start, streaming only. Apple TV on Friday.
That's all right. That's one I got. Okay. I'm already paying for. Okay. No effort involved for me.
Perfect. We also got Job news when we were off the air over the weekend here. Not Tommy John. Good. But you never know. I mean, it's an elbow issue, and it's typically a precursor to something serious. How big a deal is this Job injury? We'll get to that coming up next. We'll talk Ragnow and Zaloni contracts middle of the hour here. And then, yes, the Skubal will talk at the end of the hour. It's 97.1. All right, guys, been telling you about your teeth. If you want a brighter smile without breaking the bank, it's Brightside Dental. Looking for a reason to get back to the dentist? I've got two. One, summer's approaching, you're going to get busy. Two, school's getting out, the kids are going to get tied up with things like camp, sports, vacations. Whether it's your first visit or your first in a long time, they're ready to take care of you at Brightside Dental. $35 new patient special that covers exams and x-rays, and how about this, no hidden fees. So make an appointment, get back in that routine before the summer really gets rolling. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. We have a request in the ticket text. We need a scooble drop from John, because we are going to talk about him end of the hour, 6:50, only 90 pitches.
Yeah.
And we did some research, and it wasn't kind to Tarek. Does it change your view on extending him? We've got some Lions conversation to get into at 6:35. Two vets, key members of this football team, are unhappy with their current contract, something or nothing. Jackson Job.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the IL. It's an elbow issue. How big an issue is this?
Well, you look at his numbers, and I know that the Tigers, we had talked about this, right? It was 8 starts, 8 wins, but they weren't necessarily 8 wins for him. He hasn't pitched great, hasn't made great adjustments. So in this year, I don't know that it's a huge loss to lose your fourth starter. Like, at some point, you're going to lose one or two guys. We've already, you know, not lost Reese Olson for the season. It's finger inflammation. He'll be back. We have no idea what's going on with Cobb or his timeline. Sawyer Gibson Long did make the trip to Kansas City, pitched a couple of, bullpen starts.
Should maybe, we assume, pitch this week against the White Sox. Beat writers are kind of penciling him in to throw one of the middle games of the series.
Yeah, and he's had some good, you know, rehab starts in minor league. So, and it seems like pitchers come up, and whatever their numbers were in the minor leagues, you could have an 8 ERA, a 9 ERA, and all of a sudden, you pitch like an ace at the major league level. It's kind of what the Tigers seem to do. I'm not counting on that, but Olson will be back. Mize is back. Flaherty has pitched much better over the month of May. At some point, you're going to get Cobb. I'm not that concerned about Jackson Job. We knew it was going to be an innings management situation with him through his first year. We knew there was going to be highs, there was going to be lows.
Yeah, I didn't think there's any world he's throwing 200 innings or even 150 innings. So if the guy misses a month, okay, it's not like he was anything special as a rookie, and I'm not holding that against him long-term, just what it is right now, he is a replaceable arm for this baseball team. My concern is more big picture, because the elbow issue can be a precursor to Tommy John, which then really throws the early portion of your career for a loop. Now we're talking about full season into a second season and that early development that you lose.
Right. And so, okay, follow Casey Mize. It's pretty much what we've seen from him. So in the near future, which is what we're concerned about, probably within the next, let's just say 14 days to 21 days, 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to have Scooble, probably have Reese Olson back, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty. You got four.
Yeah, four. You only need four in the postseason.
Keiter Montero.
He honestly has done a nice job, especially yesterday. I know he flirted with disaster with the bases loaded early, but he gave him a chance to win.
So in your fifth person in the rotation, you have options of Alex Cobb, Keiter Montero, Sawyer Gibson Long.
Right, and we're only a couple months away from getting into chaos time if necessary. Like, if they have to rotate a spot with the bullpen late in the season to get to the postseason, well, good thing they've built up a cushion, and good thing they've proven they can do that before.
Right, and so going into chaos season, last year it was one pitcher and 4 days of chaos. This year it's four pitchers and 1 day of chaos. Tell me which one you'd rather have.
Much less chaos, please. As good a manager as AJ is, you want some certainty.
Yeah. None of us want to see a prospect like Jackson Job want miss time. You want to see him continue to grow, continue to get that experience in wins. But if you're going to lose one of them, that's the one that you're okay dropping off. And maybe it's a month. Maybe it's 6 to 8 weeks. Maybe it's a year. Who knows?
Yeah.
We have no idea what this means right now.
Yeah. It's just anytime it's like a flexor strain in that pitching arm elbow, you start to get a little queasy because if it is Tommy John. Tommy John is a full year plus ramp up time. A year from now would be June plus ramp up.
I mean, maybe he comes back after the All-Star break.
Just for a little bit of time to get right at the end of 26. Like that's what you're trying to avoid here. That's why it would be a big deal, this injury. In terms of this season,
yeah. He was a minor piece. Right when you're saying goodbye to school.
Oh, come on, don't do that. He's already doing this, people. We love Scooble. What are you doing?
I do. That's why I want more Scooble.
Okay. 650, 90 pitches. How does this impact an extension? We did some numbers, some deep dives. We'll present that to you guys and obviously want to take your phone calls. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the Detroit Grand Prix is coming back for 2026 and years to follow.
Cool.
So the Grand Prix has signed a 3-year contract with the Detroit City Council with an option for a 4th year. Mm. So that means that should keep the Grand Prix on the streets of downtown Detroit through 2028 and possibly 2029.
Is that option on the, whose side is the option on? Detroit side to pick it up or the racing side?
I don't know, John.
No.
I'm not sure of that. They did say there is one potential issue, which is the destruction or what's going to happen to the Rensen.
Yeah.
That could pose a potential issue, but I don't know whose decision it's on.
All right.
Mm. Yep. Maybe both.
First news story and first question
yes,
that I...
I don't yes, know that. Yes. Now, I do know that the president of the Grand Prix addressed some other issues, said, you know, the track is not going to be extended. I guess people have been wanting that. The Detroit course, I guess, is the shortest course.
Yeah.
Under 1.7 miles, said, nope, not going to happen. It's either going to get into residential areas or it's going to get too close to some other businesses, things like that. So it is what it is. Also, people asked if it could be widened. He said, No.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But he did talk about the attendance, that it was much larger in 2025 than 2024.
Oh. I feel like I saw more photos just in general on social media and stuff. Yeah. People are down there.
It's going to keep growing. I think it's something that that's something that I would love to go to. We weren't able to get down this weekend. We weren't able to go last year. But I do think it's something that will continue to draw more and more people.
For sure. Now, speaking of the Grand Prix, Kyle Kirkwood won the 2025 Detroit Grand Prix on Sunday afternoon, earning his second victory of the season. He also won the 2025 Grand Prix in Long Island. It was his best finish in Detroit. Previously, he came in fourth last year, so good for him. Finishing second was Santino Ferrucci, and Colton Herta came in third.
So they celebrate the Indy 500 with a glass of milk. Do the Long Island one, do they celebrate that one with an iced tea?
That would be a better way to celebrate.
It seems like it.
Yeah, it would be.
I think. But I don't know. Jennifer Crumbly seems to be growing impatient, waiting to find out whether she'll get a new trial or be released on bond. So on Saturday, her attorney asked the Michigan Court of Appeals to order the judge in the case to make an immediate decision on Crumbly's request for bond and a new trial. Her lawyer is accusing the judge basically of dragging her feet. And the attorney is also upset that basically they're in limbo. He can't pursue any appeals in higher courts for her until this judge does issue her decision. He says that she was supposed to only have about 56 days to decide, but it's going on 6 months, he said. So enough is enough. He wants an answer. Workers at 5 nursing homes in Metro Detroit are filing complaints against the state's largest nursing home operator, claiming that management fired employees who participated in that one-day strike. Remember, we talked about that?
Yep.
It happened back on May 20th. There was like more than 300 workers who took part in this one-day strike. And now they claim Sienna, this management company, they say, hey, Sienna received proper notification of this strike, but yet participating workers were still disciplined, some of them fired under the pretense of no call, no show policy. Workers also said the company committed several violations in the lead up of the strike. They say Sienna offered substantial cash bonuses to discourage workers from striking, told workers that they didn't have the right to picket. Anyway, these employees are seeking increased wages, better shift times, mm-hmm. annual raises, holidays, insurance, things like that. So, sad story. An accidental shooting in Troy left a 9-year-old boy fighting for his life. Ugh. On Friday afternoon, Troy police received a request for an ambulance for an injured child. And when they showed up, this little boy was bleeding from his head from a gunshot wound. He was rushed to the hospital in critical condition, had to undergo emergency surgery. Officers say they recovered a gun inside the home. Now investigators are trying to determine how the child got access to the weapon, what led up to the shooting. Did say mom was home at the time. Everything remains under investigation. Hey, here's something you don't see or really hear about every day. Happened on a British Airways flight. A flight attendant went missing. This was a long flight, San Francisco to London, right? Looking around for this guy. Where'd he go?
Right.
Couldn't find him. So people started getting a little concerned, like something's wrong. Well, eventually the flight attendant was found naked, dancing in a bathroom. So,
well, at least she was in a bathroom. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Wasn't down the aisles or, you know, in the back, I guess.
A little dance flight.
Maybe she just needed a little.
I believe it was a male.
Oh, he needed a little stress relief.
Apparently so. Crew members were forced to dress this guy in first class pajamas, then had to strap him down for the remainder of the 10 and a half hour journey.
So he was on drugs? Like what?
Well, that's what is believed. So one of the workers said, quote, the plane was cruising at 37,000 feet over the Atlantic, but this bloke seemed to be higher than anyone else. So that was a quote. So yes, they believe drugs were involved. They were met by, you know, police, EMS. He had to be taken out on a wheelchair, taken to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. Be an interesting flight.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's not much room to dance in the bathroom either.
I was trying to picture it.
Yeah. I mean, probably on top of the toilet.
How's that visual going for you?
I don't know. Like,
it's not a visual I like.
You said you're trying to.
Well, she tell a story. We all visualize stuff and you go, huh.
I can see there's more room to dance outside of a
laboratory. What dance moves can you pull off inside a.
Not.
Yeah. I mean, there'd be too many things touching too many things.
Yeah.
You can't disco.
No.
No.
All right. Heather with the news. 97-1. Tigers win. Take 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Kansas City Royals. Win another series and maintain a nice cushion atop the American League Central. Still have the best record in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Tarek Skubal pitched on Saturday. Only threw 90 pitches and AJ got him out of the game. We'll get to it at 6:50. We did some deep dive into the numbers. I want to know if it impacts your thoughts on extending Tarek Skubal at all. John, we also have some Detroit Lions stuff to talk about here.
All right.
All right. Well, careful what you say, because I don't know if it's all right. They got a couple of vets that are unhappy, and I don't know if they're going to hold out. It's still June, but Frank Ragnow is reportedly unhappy with his contract with the Detroit Lions, and Alex Anzalone has not been participating at OTAs, also reportedly unhappy with his deal. Something or nothing. How big a deal is it?
I don't think it's a huge deal. I think that they'll get something worked out. So the thing with Frank is he's got 2 years left on his contract, this and one more. And I think he's the fourth highest paid at his position, fourth highest paid at center. The problem that he sees is that this year and next year are not guaranteed. So if you add another year, say you add, 27 year, mm-hmm. and you put some more guarantees in there, you bump them up a little bit, it's not going to be a huge hit on the cap any more than he already is. So he's the cap hit this year is 14. Next year, it's just shy of 16. So there's plenty of cap room. There's plenty of maneuvering to add a few dollars to his account.
Yeah.
And extend him 27. And you could put some voidable years in there, 28, 29, whatever. But he's a guy that has, he's got a toe. He's got 10 of them, but he's got one that keeps giving him an issue that it's been reported. Now, these are all things that have been reported that he's got, and he's talked about it. It's an incurable injury.
Inoperable.
Surgery will not fix it. He's missed some games. He's fought through it. He's fought through a torn pec. He's fought through a lot, and he's been banged up. So on the negative side, you think, well, if we guarantee him and we extend him, is he a guy that's going to continue to miss more time? Does that become very problematic? Okay, answer is yes, it could.
Yeah.
It's been reported that he has contemplated retirement because of some of these injuries. that makes it problematic as well. That's a conversation that, and all of these things can be written into the contract. You know, you don't have to have any more Calvin Johnson, you know, issues
with money after your playing career. Yeah.
But we also know that he is one of the toughest SOBs in all of football, and he's going to give you everything he's got. How much is that worth?
So he's underpaid. Yes. Both of these guys are underpaid. Both of them are going to rightfully argue, hey, I'm at the point in my career where I got to get my money, right?
Yes.
I'm a hit away from being done. And in the case of Frank right now, there's already been real conversations about how much longer his career is going to go. They are leaders, they're productive players, and they are underpaid. So then you just pay them, right? Well, we understand the Lions don't have a ton of cap space starting in 2026. They already are dealing with the real life consequences of having so many talented players. I mean, they haven't kicked in an Aiden deal. How much time have we spent talking about future contracts that this team has to sign? Is it easy? Will you just pay everybody? We know it's not that easy.
It's not, but Frank already accounts for some of the space in 25 and 26. And in theory, if you extend him to a 27 or 28, it lowers the cap numbers, can lower the cap numbers for this year, next year, which is when things start
but
to get a little bit tight.
It's got to hit somewhere.
It's got to hit at some point. So that's the question. Like, can you just keep kicking the can down the road?
And well, that's when Branch's deal would kick in, and that's when, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
But my point is, in 26, he's already got a decent-sized cap number. If you add a couple million to it, it's not like you're going from zero to 18 million. Right now, his cabinet is just under 16. So if you go from 16 to 18 or 19, it's only adding three more million to. And I'm just throwing out numbers for examples.
Capologist
I have no
John
idea.
Jansen, I like this.
But it's not like you're adding a huge number that's not already in the budget. Now for Alex Anzalone, he's only under contract for this year, so there is. Like, okay, he doesn't have a number for 26, has no number for 27. What do you do with him? Because he has been very productive, and he's been tough just like Frank. He's been productive just like Frank. He's kind of the Frank Ragnow of defense.
A little bit, yeah.
So that becomes a little bit more of an issue, but you're not talking about cornerback pay. You're not talking about stud D lineman pay or edge rusher pay. Like, the numbers for a linebacker, especially for him at this point in his career, while they may be more than he's making now, it's still not a huge number that you got to figure out. Like, oh my goodness, how are we going to fit $25 million under the cap? That's not the number.
So he's 6.25 for the upcoming season, which is an underpay. I remember back when we were at training camp a year ago, and all of his teammates and coaches said, this guy is like the most underrated player. He is a real deal high-end linebacker. Well, the top linebackers, Fred Warner, is making 21 a year.
Okay, not in that category.
Roquan Smith's making 20. No, I don't think he's in that category, but you got to split the difference here. It can't be six. If I'm him, I'm worth 15, right? I mean, come on. I'm the heart and soul of your defense. I'm your leader. I'm your captain. I'm your green dot. You got to pay me, or I'm going to hold out. See, these are the conversations that I don't want to deal with.
I don't know that it goes that high. So if you're at six now, does it go? I think it's somewhere probably between 10 and 12.
Okay.
Is more what I see.
So some context, some comparables. $10 million is Zaire Franklin with the Colts. Is he a better player than Zaire Franklin? I think he is.
Yeah, but then it becomes a matter of age as well.
TJ Edwards with the Bears is getting 10. Dre Greenlaw just signed for 10.5 with the Broncos.
Okay, so that again, yeah, that's
I think
where
he's more.
10 to 12.
Okay,
is
Alex? You're welcome for negotiating your deal live on the radio.
Yes.
I don't know if we're helping or hurting, but these are the conversations that are okay in June. They would be problematic in what, August?
Yeah.
If guys are willing to sit out because they feel like, hey, I don't want to play on the last year of a deal where I'm chronically underpaid, I got to be paid more in line with the top guy. Like, Frank Ragnow should be paid like one of the top four or five centers in the game. So there are big pay raises.
Well, I think he is top four.
Is he right now?
Yeah.
Well, he probably wants to be number one or two then, right?
Well, I'm sure he would like to. Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys that would like to be the highest paid at their position.
Does his play justify it?
I think he should be probably top three. So, like I said, yes, you give them a little bit of a bump.
So Ragnow has to at least eliminate the retirement chatter that's out there, right? At least I don't even know how real that is. I've never.
Again, that's why I say it's been reported. And yeah. I think in terms of the injury chatter, he's talked about that.
Yeah.
In terms of the retirement chatter, I do believe that he has come out and said, this isn't something that I've contemplated. I could be wrong.
All right. So with Anzalone, I think the Lions have all the leverage here. And this is where he may be the very first player that they've kind of got a lot from, been part of this whole change in culture. And look, he has improved as a linebacker. But business is tough. And I think this is going to be the first one. It's the position you don't want to overpay. He's aging.
And you've got Campbell.
And you have, yeah, to me, you just say, oh, yeah, try us. Like, call us bluff because he's not Chris Jones. Okay.
Right. If you get into a game of chicken and you go, what, are you going to sit out the whole year? We're chasing a Super Bowl, dude. I wonder, but things like this can get nasty. And the Lions have done such a good job being out in front on a lot of these deals, but you can't get out in front of everybody. And you have a lot of really good players. And the cap is real. This may be the first real consequence.
So you got money here and you got a decision between two players who are unhappy. Who's more important?
Ragnow.
Yes, there's no question. It's Ragnow. But I'm also curious. If he's got a base salary of $6 million this year, his cap hit is 7.2. All right. If you go this year as high as a base salary of, I don't know, again, 10,
sure,
and his cap hit is 12 to 13, like that's not something that you're breaking the bank on. And so I don't see that. Like, I think he'll get an extension. It may be a two-year extension, so 25, and then you've got 26 and 27. So by the end of that, he's going to be 33. Can he be productive for the next couple of years? Yes. And it's not a position where you're going to break the bank.
Let's get to the phones on this. Josh in Bloomfield Hills, you're on 97.1.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. So, like, Frank is great, right? Maybe the best center in the league. When he signed his deal, the Lions paid him and made him the number one paid center in the league. So, like, I have no problem paying the guy. What I have a problem with is him coming back to the table when he's no longer the number one paid center in the league and saying, hey, you know, I do have a contract, but I don't really care. I still want more money. It just doesn't sit right.
Okay,
what if you did that?
Insert almost any other player that has been consistent like he has been entering the last couple of years, which there are no guarantees left in his contract.
But John, how big a deal is that you said last couple years? Like, we see this often when guys are in the last year. Like, Alex Anzalone's playing his final contractual year. Frank has two. I mean, the Lions would be well within the right to go, hey, at the end of next season, let's revisit this. You got 2 years under contract, and you're still one of the highest paid guys at your position.
Hutch has got 2 years. J-Mo's got 2 years. Penei Sewell had 2 years. Monroe St. Brown, I think,
was
actually
one. They're on rookie deals. Their deals were locked in because of the cap, because of their slot where they got drafted. Frank's, when he signed this deal that we're talking about, it wasn't a rookie deal. So he could have said, I don't want a five-year deal. I want a three-year deal. I just think it's a bad look for him. Like, he's great. Like, I would not want him not being on the Lions. It's just for so many years, the Lions got so much crap for not paying their players or doing things wrong. So they do everything, not everything, but most things right. And they still can't get it right. Because then they have one of their best players saying, I want more money. He should have shown up and quietly said to whomever, hey, you know, I need some guarantee here. I'm getting older, or whatever he wanted to say.
Well, if you listen to Dan Campbell, he's had conversations with every player, whether they're there or not.
We could play that audio. We've got that audio. Can we play Dan Campbell talking about the situation with both these guys, Anzalone and Ragnow? Yeah, he spoke on Friday.
Yeah.
It's now June. Now it's time to panic. No, I don't think we're in panic mode. I just think these are the harsh realities of good football teams. It's not only keeping the players you drafted, it's trying to make everybody happy because they're all playing well. A couple quick texts. I respect Ragnow. I never want to get rid of him, but why would I extend a guy who contemplates retirement every year? And another says, I think Frank will play the end of his contract and then retire, but he's trying to get as much guarantees as he can first, Chad, in a truck, which is understandable.
Sure. And maybe that's, we don't know what his requests have been. We don't know how, like when you say unhappy, like, there's different levels of that. There's disgruntled, there's, you know, extremely mad. There's, I mean, like you use a lot of different adjectives, unhappy. Okay, I'm unhappy. I'm going to make a point that I'm not there for the first couple of OTAs. I think if at this point in Frank's career, everybody's going to look at it and go,
need him anyway.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk Scooble coming up next. He was pulled after 90 pitches. Does this impact at all your thoughts on extending him? It's next, 97.1.
Hey, FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props while the NBA playoffs are going on. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. And you want to see if a guy's hitting the over consistently, or maybe there's somebody's flirting with a triple double. Get the latest stats right inside the app. You don't have to leave. You can see it all right there and see who's heating up. And once the game starts, that's where things can get really interesting. You can combine live prop bets into a same game parlay for a chance to win something big. If you don't already have a FanDuel account, what are you waiting for? It's not too late to still get in on all the action. You're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. And make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Scooble doing his thing on Saturday. Not his fault the Tigers lost. Pulled after 90 pitches. Got everybody up in arms. I want to be clear on this. I don't think they lost because they pulled Tarek Skubal. Riley Green's got to get the throw in from the outfield, and Bo Brisky's got to execute from the bullpen. Tigers also have to score a run in the game. But it did raise an eyebrow that Tarek Skubal was pulled after 90 pitches. This is your ace. You're in a tight game. Give him one more inning, right? At least see what happens. But A.J. Hinch has played the long game, and they want to be cautious, and they've even bumped him back a day for the upcoming week. He's going to pitch Friday against the Cubs. John, 90 pitches, if you're going to limit this guy, does it at all change the way you feel about an extension?
That was my initial reaction. As soon as they took him out, and I knew we would probably hear a lot of coach speak from A.J. Hinch, and we kind of did, right? It was, hey, he's coming off his longest performance. You know, we didn't want to overtax his arm, all of those different things.
His longest performance, by the way, it was 94 pitches the previous start. It's not like he worked 120. Right.
No, I know. He was referencing it because it was the nine-inning complete game, which happened to be the first of his career. And so my initial reaction was, he had retired the last seven batters that he faced, and it was only two hits. Still see, and he kind of felt like he was not a repeat performance of what he had on the previous Sunday, but it felt like he was a pitcher that was getting stronger as the game went on. And then they pulled him, and it was kind of noted, right? It was the handshake versus the fist bump.
Yeah.
Handshake, you're done. Fist bump. Hey, let's go get him, Tiger. So he comes out, Bo Brisky goes in. We could talk about
the choice to
decision,
go Brisky, whatever.
But they end up losing 1-0 on a great performance by Tarek Skubal. So the conversation was why? Why?
Because if he goes one more inning, then you bridge to your two shutdown arms at the end of the bullpen right now, because we feel very good about Tommy Canley and Will Vest.
Yeah.
But they pull Skubal after 90 pitches, and it's like, if this is how it's going to be, Jeff Passan saying Skubal's in line for a 10-year, $400 million contract, are you getting your bang for your buck if he can hardly ever hit 100 in his pitch count? And we actually went back and looked at this. I mean, we're doing this pre-show. We're huddling up. I go, John, give me a big-name pitcher, and we'll
throw
do
some
a comparison.
Names at me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're doing this, and I just want to present what we uncovered. So Skubal has topped 100 pitches only four times since the start of last year.
Okay. Cy Young.
Yeah. So Cy Young season plus even better this year. He's only topped 100 pitches four times, zero this season. How does that stack up against others? Well, Chris Sale won the Cy Young last year. He had 17 outings of 100-plus pitches between last year and this year. Paul Skeens, you want to go on the younger scale? Fine, Chris Sale's an established vet. You trust him. Skeens is not. You'd think you'd be cautious. 17 games of 100 or more pitches since the start of 2024. Logan Webb, who we just saw from the Giants, and AJ praised him as one of the game's best. 19 games of over 100 pitches. Zach Wheeler, that's a workhorse. That's a frontline ace for the Phillies, a World Series contender. 22 games over 100 pitches. Max Fried, that's a name everybody's comparing Scooble with, Cy Young battle. 18 different outings of 100 or more pitches. Scooble has 4. I mean, you guys can answer that question. Does that impact your willingness to give this guy a massive deal if you can't even throw 100 pitches?
It does for me. And that's my initial response is, all right, I just don't like the fact that he's not going to be a guy that can go deep into games. And the only reason he can go deep into games is just because when he's dominant, which he is a lot. Yeah. So why not continue? And we heard from Justin Verlander after that, you know, Maddux performance by Tarek Skubal, that the Tigers, he'd really like to see the Tigers just let him go. Like just allow him to go out there and pitch. And then this is the next outing where he's got a great outing going through 90 pitches, and then they pull him, and then they lose a 1-0 game. Now, in 162, right, we're not going to bitch and moan about one loss.
No, I'm not even mad about the loss. They took 2 or 3 over the weekend.
But it does raise the question. So what is the question? Is it a philosophy for the Tigers that they're just never going to use him that way?
Right. If they're never going to use pitchers that way, then they should never prioritize throwing that kind of money at a starting pitcher, right? If it's an organizational philosophy.
And then on the flip side, is that a Tarek Skubal issue? Like, they know him better than anyone else.
Right.
And they know that he is not a guy that is going to be good past 100 pitches. Like, or can't do that on a regular basis, because then you get into August and September, hopefully October, and he's not going to be good enough at that time.
Look, they ramped him up. He had 4 100-pitch outings last year, all in the second half. They'll ramp him up. But it's a question of, if you're giving that guy that kind of money, shouldn't he be that guy from the jump?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to delay starts. You shouldn't have to play games. He should just be your ace.
And how much do you do it just in a game? Like, sometimes you're over-managing this situation instead of managing the game. The Royals pulled Waka after 7. So you got first dibs to see, well, what's their, we couldn't hit their bullpen. Mm-hmm. So now, like, to me, if you're managing the game, that should affect, I would put Skubal just based on that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was still 0-0. So you are only going to bat one more time. I also think there's some thought into, do you want to get to extra innings or not now in baseball with the ghost runner?
Right.
The Tigers are an aggressive base running team. They're likely to score a guy from second base, but you're not trying to win this game today. They're managing the season, and you have to do that with a pitch count.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that.
But the bottom line is, he could have gone out and faced one batter, and if you allow him on base,
you get him out.
Pull him.
What if he works through 2 quick outs or 3 quick outs and gets you to the back end of your bullpen?
Yeah.
I understand why AJ did it. AJ is playing for fall. AJ's playing to win a World Series. I understand the logic, but if that's how you're going to treat the arm, do you ever invest significant resources in a pitcher if that's how you view pitching?
Right.
I mean, he would be the exception, and he's not. To the rule, they are treating him like any other young arm. They don't want to burden him. Well, then you have a hard time justifying a $400 million contract.
Well, and we're talking about a $400 million contract, and the conversation prior to this was, are you going to give that type of money to a player and put him on whether it's 8, 9, 10 years on this payroll for once every 5 games?
Then you throw in that he's only pitching
7 innings.
Light workloads in those games, those every fifth day. We got calls to get to. We'll start the 7 o'clock hour with your feedback on this. It's 97.1.